We are in our third week of The Visitor, and I think the point being that the Holy Spirit didn't come to visit, but he came to live on the inside of us. And so we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that he is not a spirit, he is a person. And it's so important to know that, because if you treat the Holy Spirit like a spirit, you don't want to get close to him, right? But if you understand that he is a person, you long to build a communion and to build a relationship with him, right? To have fellowship with him. And so we've been going through this need and our desire for the Holy Spirit, and how scripturally relevant it is that we need the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I'm gonna use a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to apologize for that, but I want you to know to be prepared. I look like a, those are tabs that I'm going to use. Usually I use one or two, maybe on a good day. So we're going to preach about 2 hours today. I'm just kidding. I'll do it really quick. If you amen. If you don't amen, I'm like, they're not getting it. I'll go slower. So if you would, turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 20. And I'm already getting an amen. All right, deal. That is great. Y'all just follow along. When he says it, you say it, all right? So John chapter 20, verse 22, and I'm actually going to read verse 21 just to put it in context a little bit clearer. So this is Jesus. He's died. He's resurrected. He's come back from the dead, and now he's hanging out with his disciples. So we've got a dead man walking again, and he's having this conversation with his disciples, okay? So I think you have to understand that this is extremely important when Jesus is literally about to ascend to heaven. He's about to be gone and never to come back until his final return, okay? So this is what he's leaving with. And he says this. This is what he says to them. In verse 22 of 20, it says this. They were filled with joy and they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay? If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is everything that we need. He is everything that it would take for us to fulfill our purpose. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word, that it never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's sent to do. So, Lord, I thank you that your word would fall on hungry hearts this morning, that it would change us from the inside out. And, Lord, I pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Amen. It is our assignment to make Jesus famous. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is the title of this sermon. It's not one of those profound ones, but it's called Wait Right Here. And as I was writing this and thinking about this whole concept of what Jesus was doing with his disciples, he told them in Acts 1, he says to wait as he's descending. He's like, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. You've got a lot to do, but you got to wait until you get empowered with the Holy Spirit, and then you can go do it. So he said, wait right here. So look at everybody this morning. Look at somebody and say, wait right here. Now, you've had those friends or those coworkers or a parent or, whatever it may be, and they say, hey, wait, like they're about to leave, and they say, hey, wait right here, I'll be right back, right? And then they come back, and you're like, man, I wonder what they're going to give me. And they come back, and they're like, oh, hey, here's this bill in the mail that you forgot to get the other day. And then you've got these other friends, and you know when they tell you to wait, you waiting. Because you know they're bringing a gift, they're bringing something that's worth waiting for. You know what I'm talking about, those friends. And I think that we've all got this perception of Holy Spirit. We've either got the God of the bill. He's bringing the bill. He's going to tell me what I owe him. And then we've got the God of the Holy Spirit. And that he brings this incredible gift. And I want you to know this morning that you are right now, God is asking us to wait on a gift. That he's not asking you to wait on a bill. He's asking you to wait on a gift. And we're going to get into that here in just a minute. So what you have to understand is this. This just seems like God is this, or Jesus is just kind of initiating this transition. But what you have to understand is in verse 22, it says this. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the word that he uses there is the word, when he says breathe, it's used one time in the entire New Testament. So this is a word that is really important to understand. What this word is whenever in Genesis chapter 2, when God is creating Adam, right? He's created him out of the dust of the earth, and there's this body laying lifeless. And I always picture it laying lifeless on the ground. And it says this, that God breathed into his nostrils. And it says that Adam came to life. This is the exact verbiage that God, that Jesus is telling his disciples, that when I breathe in you, there you are dead men right now. But when I breathe into you, you are going to become alive and aware of something that you were not once aware of. And I want you to know that God is still breathing on people, that even this morning, even as we were doing worship, that God was breathing on people, that he was putting revival in you. He was reviving you. And then if you go to John chapter 3, it's a story about Nicodemus, and we use it in Sunday school. Right? It's like little Nicodemus. He was, you know, he needed to get saved, and he didn't understand. He said, I had to get born again, and I need to go back into my mother's womb, and he's really confused. And I think that's just so important, is that that's how you will misinterpret scripture, and you will misinterpret God without the Holy Spirit. You will think you got to go in your mother's womb to be born again, but when you are born of the Spirit, it brings revelation. It brings understanding. And this is what it says in verse 5 through 6. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit, right? Humans can reproduce only human life. You got to get this. Humans can only produce human life, right? Check this out. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. This is the deal as believers. A lot of us are trying to live a spirit life without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit awakening in us to the Spirit of God, to the purpose of God, to the plan of God. Right now in this building, we have however many hundred people are in here. We have hundreds of destinies and purposes sitting in these chairs. And you will continue to access and try to gain more fulfillment in your human nature without the Holy Spirit. You will think, if I could get my 401k bigger, if I can get my kids to just be nice, if I could just, and you start compartmentalizing natural and spiritual, like they're separate. The whole point of the Spirit is to bring the natural and the spiritual together, because God needs your natural body being led by the Spirit of God. And so he tells Nicodemus, you've got to be empowered with the Spirit, or you're just going to do human things. You're just going to do natural things. And as us as believers, right, check this out. Most of us have the tendency to do a lot of things in the natural, to fix our situations, to bring resolution and to work out things. But the Spirit, he says that Spirit brings life to spirit. This, you got to get this, because if you miss this, you miss the whole reason why you're on the earth. You miss the whole concept, the whole idea of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through your life. And so the Holy Spirit brings focus to your spiritual life. That's what he does. He tells you, look, you are way more spiritual than you think you are. You are way more gifted than you think you are. You are way more talented in your workplace than you think you are. And what he does is he awakens you to a spiritual aspect of your life. That it's not just about you showing in and clocking in and saying hi to your coworkers. It's about you being aware of the Spirit of God, so that when you step into that cubicle, when you step into that phone call, when you step into that meeting, when you step into that bedroom and you're talking to your kid, you can feel the Holy Spirit and know, okay, there I've been so many times as I'm raising our daughter, as Alicia and I, as we raise our daughter, there's different scenarios that it's like, this is a Spirit-led moment. It could have just been a natural one, but because I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, it gives me an opportunity to allow Spirit life to be deposited in her. See, those are the only ways. You're never going to have miracles happen in your life if you're so focused on the natural. That you just, this is the, you got, you will never be focused on the natural if you're being led by the Spirit. The Spirit will always say, look, I know you're doing natural things in your job, but this is why you're here today. This is what you're called to do today. I think it's very interesting if we look at it, why are Mondays always the worst? Like, right, with, I mean, there's memes and all kinds of stuff about Monday work. Why? Because I believe that there's an assignment on us, because we get pumped up, we get in the zone, like we're going to be doing our kingdom assignment on Monday morning, and the devil wants to throw all of these natural circumstances at you, but you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I wonder if we would face our Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays with the Holy Spirit, what would change? See, the Holy Spirit produces through you what you can't do with your natural abilities. You are limited in your natural abilities without the Holy Spirit. All you will be locked up, and it will be a miserable Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You'll be like, what am I here for? I don't even want to go to church today. It's getting so bad. Because that's what happens when you lose sight of the spiritual life, even though we live in a natural world, you miss the whole point of why we're here. See, the Spirit, what it does is it awakens you to your purpose. This is literally what Nicodemus is telling Nicodemus, is like, look, you thought that, and understand, Nicodemus was a, like, scholar of scholars. And this is the power, when you can have all the knowledge in the world, you can know your Bible, but not know your Bible. Because Nicodemus knew the Old Testament verbatim. But he said, how can I be born of, he isn't getting this. Because that's the power, is you can have all the knowledge you want, but without the Spirit, all you're going to have is knowledge. See, it's like, I can know John 3:16. I can know it. I can have the knowledge of John 3:16, but I can have a revelation of it through the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference if I say, hey man, Jesus died on the cross. But it's a whole different thing. For all of you in here, there was a moment where the Holy Spirit highlighted, oh no, he didn't do that just for them. He did that for you. And it's in that brings revelation, and you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to live differently. It's only by the Spirit that you're able to live the life that God has for you. Your life will continue to be a natural life. It'd go in and go out, and it's boring. I don't know why I'm even here. I hate my job. I hate my, and you get nothing out of it until the Spirit awakens you to it. See, you can have all of the knowledge. You can have it all. But you have to have the revelation for it to matter. You have to have the understanding for it to matter. And Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus, look, it's not about how much knowledge you know. It's not about that. It's about the Spirit inside of you helping you understand. It's like you can go into your cubicle, or you go into your workplace, and it's like, man, I've been passing this cubicle every week all the time. I know who's there. I know their name. I know what's going. I know what their job's requirements are. I know all of that. But there's a moment that when the Spirit gets in you, you don't just know them. You know them. There is something on the inside of you that the Spirit is saying, hey, I need you to encourage them. I need you to prophesy over them. I need you to give them a word of knowledge. I need you to do something for them. And it's in that's where everything changes. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's trying to get Nicodemus, look, it's not just going through the ritual and the tradition. You need to be empowered by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? Is he endorses kingdom realities into your life. He says, look, this is what you're called to do. It awakens you to be like, okay, I'm not just called to do this. I'm not just called to be a parent. And I'm not just called to be a husband to my wife. There's a bigger kingdom reality in me being my wife's husband and being a father to my child. There's a kingdom. There's a bigger picture to it. But that picture only increases as my closeness to the Holy Spirit becomes more closer. And I realize, okay, I'm not just raising a 3-year-old and just trying to get her up to graduate and get her out of the house. But that's how a lot of parents feel. It's like, if I can just get them out of here and I can have my own. The Spirit says, no, no, no. You are called to endorse them with kingdom realities. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us, is he's wanting us to be empowered with kingdom realities. See, salvation is great, right? Because we become the beneficiaries of it. It's not just us going from hell to heaven. Because that is a byproduct of it. But how many of you know that Jesus didn't die on the cross to get you out of this earth into heaven? He died on the cross to get heaven into you on the earth. Like, that's what we do. It's like, I just got to get out of hell. I got to get out of hell, and I got to get to heaven. There are a lot of Christians that are okay with where they're at because they know where they're going, and they're missing the whole point of heaven being in them. And the Holy Spirit wants to be in you. Imagine if Jesus was walking the earth today. That's you filled with the Holy Spirit. That's me filled with the Holy Spirit. You're like, I mean, that's already happened. No, it's still happening today if you will let him. The Holy Spirit wants to live through your life. See, we can get so satisfied with, I'm just good, I'm going to heaven. or it can become a greater reality. And the only reason and the only way it's ever going to become a greater reality is by you allowing Holy Spirit to come in and breathe. See, all that did earlier, whenever Jesus breathed on them, was brought their life and brought them aware to the new life of salvation. That's all it did. That's why he told them, wait, you've been renewed, you've been saved, you've been redeemed, but now you got to wait for what? Power. Because God wants to give us more than just salvation. He wants to give us heaven in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is he wants to empower you to be able to live this life on the earth. In Luke chapter 24, it says this. In verse 49, it says this right here. It says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is a promise? It is not a maybe you might get him, he might work out. Like, it is a promise from heaven that you get the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says this, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Wait here, receive the gift. Wait here, receive the gift. You will possess what you're willing to wait for. So many of us, we get saved, and it's like, we have not been empowered with the Holy Spirit to fulfill our assignment. And we get discouraged, and we get worn out, we get fearful. And he says, wait on the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you that just because you've said yes to Jesus doesn't mean you've allowed the Holy Spirit to empower you with what he's talking about here. In Acts 1, it says this in verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them. So now it's a commandment. Right? This is not a suggestion. I know that we like to turn a lot of his commandments into suggestions. However, the Holy Spirit won't let you do that. All right. Moving along. It says this. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you a what? A gift. So now he says, receive the Holy Spirit, but now he's calling it, wait here, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Now he's calling it a gift. And he says this, as I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people have this theology of, now it's just, once I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's good. Take that up with Jesus, because that's not scriptural. Because he says, there's two different types of baptism. There's a baptism in water, and there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, right? He says this. He says, John baptized with water, but who is Jesus going to baptize you with? The Holy Spirit. See, what you see through your life will be the result of your movement with the Holy Spirit. Your life will never be more significant than your movement with the Holy Spirit. It's so easy. I mean, even this weekend, we were out officiating a wedding, and it's so easy to get caught up in just what you're doing that you forsake that there's a kingdom assignment on your life always. I mean, you've been on vacation, and it's like the Holy Spirit will just like interrupt you. And I think, man, is it an interruption? Should we consider that if God is taking us away from something, is it an interruption or is it assignment? See, when you understand that the Holy Spirit is in you, you never look at things that God is calling you into as just an inconvenience. You realize this is an assignment that God has given me for this day, today. Holy Spirit, this is Holy Spirit's opportunity to reveal himself to somebody else. This is the opportunity for him to introduce himself to somebody else. It's kind of like this. Last week I used the illustration of the woman who's pregnant and that baby in her. That baby does not get to choose where it goes, correct? Like, if a pregnant mom wants to go out here and go try to do whatever, the Holy Spirit has to go with her, right? And I think that if we would consider the Holy Spirit like that, like, wherever the Holy Spirit takes us, that's where we want to go. I want to go with the movement of the Spirit. I want to go wherever God takes me. And some of us are so concerned about being flaky and weird, and some people are flaky and weird, and that doesn't matter if they had the Holy Spirit or not. They're just flaky and weird. Because the Holy Spirit is not flaky or weird. There's nowhere in Scripture where you see Jesus being operating in the Holy Spirit or people being operating in the Holy Spirit and being looked at as flaky and weird. Drunk, yes. They have been perceived as that. And I guess maybe depending on your intox level, I guess that could be perceived as crazy and weird. So anyway, you know, there is a movement that the Holy Spirit has for us. And in Ephesians 5:18, it says this. This is where they're talking about the Spirit. They're talking about Jesus empowering us. And it says this, do not be drunk with wine, right? But be filled with the Spirit. Now notice what they're doing. They're using these are two different things. He's saying, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's implying that those two things both have the power to influence. Right? Have you ever known anybody, anybody else to get a DUI? Do you know what those initials imply? Driving under the influence, right? This is what he was implying here. He's saying, look, don't be drunk with wine, but be influenced with the Spirit. Because he's implying that wine does influence. That's why he says drunk. Because, right, when you had too much to drink, what does it do? Is it tells you what you're going to do. That's why people do stupid stuff. Because they're being influenced by what's intoxicating them. And he compares that to the Spirit. Right? So he's saying, look, you will do crazy, bold, radical kingdom things if you will be influenced by the Spirit. You can continue to be drunk and look like a fool, or you can be influenced by the Spirit and make kingdom impact. Right? It's okay to go to work and be under a DUI if you're driving under the influence of the Spirit. Right? We have to be consumed with the Spirit leading us and influencing us. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in you to bring suggestions. He comes into your life to influence your everyday life. The normal Christian life is the Spirit-filled life. That is what Jesus is implying here. He's like, this should be your normal. This should be the life that you live, is this normal Christian life being empowered with Him. See, the Spirit can influence your whole life. Whereas alcohol, it just influences your life for a moment. The Holy Spirit can influence every aspect of who you are. From the very inside of who you are to the outside, your whole life is what the Spirit came to do, is came to influence you from the inside out. Alcohol influences you from the outside in. And here in just a moment, we're going to read a story about Peter. And in just a few chapters prior to this, Peter's denying that he knows Jesus. He's been living with him for 3.5 years. He's pretty close to him. But yet he gets to in a moment where he's denying him and acting like he doesn't even know the guy. Why? Because he's not empowered with the Spirit. And in this moment, the Holy Spirit comes into Peter's life. And I found this quote the other day that I was thinking about Peter. And I thought, man, this is what could happen with the church. The American church, the worldwide global church. This could happen. This could be our reality. And this is the quote. It says this, the Holy Spirit can cast out the evil spirit of the fear of man. He can make this coward brave. What would it look like if we as believers were no longer cowards? Where we believers were so brave because of what was in us that the fear of man did not even tempt us. It did not influence us, but it was because we are so brave because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. See, Satan longs to defame the Holy Spirit. I've lived my life being Spirit-filled, being empowered by the Holy Spirit for over 20 years now. And I've been amazed to see that no one has a problem with God, whether they believe it's God, or God just a bigger power, higher power in the universe. No one has a problem with that. No one has a problem with Jesus and, oh, he's just a loving guy. We love him and it's amazing. He died on a cross. No one has a problem with Jesus. But when you start talking about the Holy Spirit It's like, I mean, that stuff is of the devil. I mean, it is just unscriptural. Well, okay, there's only about 15 chapters on it and about two on drinking. Okay, we won't go there today. But it's amazing how the enemy tries to defame Holy Spirit. Why? I will tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers you to do kingdom assignments on the earth. And if he can get you to think that it's crazy and weird and flaky, he keeps you away from the power source, from you being able to be the light and the purpose for people's lives. And he wants to do everything he can to defame Holy Spirit from you so that you become scared of him. So you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want that. No, I'll take this, but not that. I'll take Jesus, but not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus said, I'm going to breathe on you so that you will have life, and then stay here and wait so that you can have empowerment and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like, we can be baptized in water, but man, that other stuff. Well, do we believe the Bible or not? Because it's scripture after scripture, it's Bible after Bible, that it's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and the enemy comes in to try to defame Holy Spirit. But I believe it should be our mission and our mandate to give glory to Jesus and to lift up the Holy Spirit and say, this is how I'm able to do what I'm able to do, is because I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You understand what being empowered is. That is me giving someone the mic and say, hey, start preaching. I'm endorsing them. I'm empowering them to do what I was once doing. That's what Holy Spirit did, is Jesus said, I'm empowering the Holy Spirit to empower you to live your life with passion and purpose. And this is what the Holy Spirit came to do. In Acts 2, we've heard it. And it says, you know, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. A lot of it's like, I get people, are you Pentecostal? I'm like people, it's crazy denominationally. It's like, you do realize what Pentecost means. It's 50. It's the word 50. Freaky, right? I'm like, 50. Pentecost. It's like, whoa, what are you going to be for Halloween? Pentecost. It's like, you realize that theologically, that's how indated we are with wrong theology, that we can say Pentecostal. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's those weird people. Look, again, I realize that there are some weird, flaky people. It's just going to be how it is. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not like that. And it said, so this is where those people who you would consider who they said they're Pentecostal, they get that from this moment. Because on the 50th day, the Spirit empowered them to live their life. And I want you to know that if that's what that is, then I'm Pentecostal. If me being empowered with the Spirit of God and being able to fulfill the assignment on my life is Pentecostal, then call me Pentecostal. I want to be whatever it is to be able to fulfill the assignment of God on my life. Whatever that is fine. And it goes on and it says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues or fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. Now, something I didn't say the previous sermon, and I wish I would have, is this, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't come on you and you just start doing whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. The Holy Spirit has to come into subject with what you're willing to let him do. These people were willing to say, look, we want the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened, is that they were filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit gave them this ability. It says, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear that our own language is being spoken by believers. You realize that all these other people that heard, they were not believers. Until the Holy Spirit came and they began to hear their own language. That's how the church went from 120 to 3,000, because those 3,000 people heard, like, okay, this thing's real. Like, I don't know how you know my language, because no one else knows my language. So I need to know about this Jesus. And I guess this is my thing, is there's a lot of people that you don't know their past. You don't know their present, but the Holy Spirit does. And when you can step in and you can speak what they're going through, guess what? They become believers. But you can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, it says, they were completely amazed. Sounds freaking flaky to me. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, whatever. And it goes through all these different ones. And then it goes on and says, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. And now we get into this. Now Peter is hearing them say this. And just a few chapters prior, Peter is denying Jesus. But something happened to Peter in that moment. And he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 probably behind him. They're like, you go, Peter. You say what you're going to say, bro. Go ahead. We got your back. Just don't say anything stupid. We got you. It says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you. You hear the authority in that? You hear the power, the confidence, the security? Like, he's not afraid. It took the coward out of him and made him brave. The Holy Spirit will do that. And this is what he said. Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents, and goes through all this. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk. As some of you are assuming, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago. And he says, in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. I want you to know that the Spirit has not stopped pouring out. The Spirit is still pouring out the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I took from this, is that there was a kingdom assignment on Peter. There is a kingdom assignment on you. And I want you to take this, if you leave with anything, I want you to take this. And this is that his work can only be done with his power. The kingdom's work can only be done with kingdom power. A lot of us are trying to function and fulfill a kingdom assignment with natural abilities. And that's why we live our lives full of fear, full of doubt. Be like, I don't know if God's going to come through. Because we're trying to live in our natural abilities to fulfill kingdom power, kingdom assignments. See, the access you give the Holy Spirit will be the power you live in. The access you give Holy Spirit will be the power you live in. Your power will never supersede your availability to him. These men and women, in the very beginning, it says, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were willing and open and waiting. And I want you to know this morning that if you were willing to wait on the Holy Spirit, that he will empower you with strength, with wisdom. Something I was thinking about earlier is, in my natural ability, I can only see so far. And it's getting shorter and shorter as I live. I mean, I've had 2 LASIK surgeries. I'm like, dear Jesus, like, I mean, I was supposed to have like HD 2020. Well, it's no longer HD. It's SD, is that what it's called? Yeah, standard definition. I'm like, most of you, I don't even see your faces. It's just like, I'm believing God that y'all are smiling and like, I may not ever get that changed just for that fact. Like, man, they were amen and they were excited today. Dude, they were sleeping. But this is the deal. In my natural ability, I only have the ability to see so far. But with binoculars, where I was once only maybe able to see from here to the road, I can see miles away with the right type of binoculars. And this is what I want you to understand, is that a lot of us are trying to fulfill kingdom assignments. We're trying to take out the enemy. And I was thinking about the American sniper, how he took him out, how he took out one of the enemy at like a mile and a half away. He would have never been able to do that without a scope. And this is what we're doing, is we're trying to take out the enemy with our natural vision and be like, I'm going to take him out. No, you're not. You're going to be really disappointed But the American Sniper was made of a movie because of what he was able to accomplish with a scope that was able to see way farther than his natural eyes had the ability to see. And I want you to know that you have the ability to take out the enemy in other people's lives because of what's in you. Because of this Holy Spirit power that's in the inside of you. You just have to be willing to be empowered and to be equipped. Look, how you view the Holy Spirit will be what decides whether he is the gift he was intended to be. In these moments, we had people who were ridiculing them, and they're like, that's just crazy stuff. And then you had these other 120 who said, we just want the Spirit. We just want to be empowered, and we want to fulfill the kingdom assignment on our lives. And how you see him, how you view him, will be what you get from him. In Acts 3, I'm going to close. This is what happens. So Peter, again, he denied him a few chapters prior. But in this setting, it starts in verse 2 or 3 of chapter 3. I'm going to read just 3. This is a beggar. He's sitting at the gate, beautiful. And he says this. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. In other words, he didn't have anything natural to give him. You got to get this, because there's a lot of people who we think that we're fulfilling the call of God because of what we can give them naturally. Peter didn't have them. He couldn't give them anything naturally. He says, I don't have any money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, he said, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. You realize that this is supernatural power. This is Holy Spirit living on the inside of Peter now. Where once he was a coward and he was dodging people, now he's saying, look, I don't even care that I don't have anything monetary to give you. What I do give you is what you really want anyway. There are a lot of people in our lives that are maybe needing natural things. They think they're needing natural things until the Spirit gets in them, until the Spirit touches them. And the only way for people to be touched by the Holy Spirit is for you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For you and I to be, keep in mind, when I say filled, I'm talking about being influenced. Because filled is really, you don't really know what that means necessarily. But when you think about it being, I'm influenced by the Holy Spirit, it changes it. The Holy Spirit wants to be able to be, he wants your life to be influenced by him. And then in Acts 8, it says this, and I'm giving some context so that you understand and you can be solid and secure in what I'm teaching you. In Acts 8, verse 14 and 17, it says this, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. They were already new believers, right? But John and Peter prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. It says this, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, verse 2 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several what? Believers, right? He found several believers. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And he asked them, no. They replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul said, oh no. You need the fullness. And this is what he says. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. See, I want you to understand that as much as you've maybe heard and highlighted about tongues and all of that, what I want you to understand is you've been empowered with the gifts of the Spirit. Because notice what happened. It wasn't just about tongues there. It says, then they began to prophesy. They began to speak life and hope and joy and purpose. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. It's to be able to use you, to be able to encourage, to equip, to empower, to support, to strengthen, to equip other people. The Holy Spirit didn't just come to empower you. He came to empower people through you. And this is your opportunity, I believe, to live your best life now. You know, there's a lot of books. It's like, live your best life now. I will tell you how to live your best life now, and that's for you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and be willing to go wherever He's telling you to go, to be fully influenced by Him so that you could be strengthened by Him.